You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, New City. If you were here last week, Pastor Kevin started us on a new series for the season of Lent. In this time, we are looking at the temptations of Jesus from five different perspectives. So the same passage, five different weeks. And that will lead us into Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. I'm here today to bring you another perspective. And that is to look at the setting of the story, which is the wilderness or the desert. It says in the Gospel of Luke that after his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the desert. And there he spent 40 days fasting. But this was not something strange that Jesus went into the desert for such a long time. But Jesus was actually following a long tradition of people in the scriptures who went into the wilderness to meet with God. So I'd like to give us some context and some history for why it is Jesus needed to go into the wilderness, why this was important. In the Bible, the desert is both a real place and a metaphor. The desert was where the Israelites wandered for 40 years. If you look at a map, Israel is surrounded by the desert. It is their scenery. But if you read through the prophets and the Psalms, you will find that the desert is used as a metaphor, that it speaks about our inner life. And this is true for all of us. For most of us, our most common experience of the desert is when we drive in or out of California. We are also surrounded by the desert on one side. The desert is that space between us and Vegas. So we know the desert as a place that's long and boring and hot with very few gas stations. But just like the people in the Bible, the image of the desert, it connects to us. That there's something about that desert image that connects to the human soul. It describes for us those seasons of doubt or suffering or questions. It's those seasons when we lose control. It's those seasons when God seems silent or when trials are coming at you from all directions. The image of the desert, that description, describes for us what it feels like emotionally and spiritually to be dry or in a dark place. So understandably, we do not enter the desert by choice. We are usually thrown into the desert unprepared. We go in kicking and screaming, and we do anything and everything that we can to avoid the wilderness seasons of our life. But I'd like you to consider this morning that what the wilderness stories teach us and what the season of Lent invites us to do is to enter into the wilderness. To intentionally place ourselves there because we want to meet with God. I am not suggesting that you should go out and look for trials and temptations. Don't do that. But what I am suggesting is that the wilderness we avoid the most is that place of deep solitude with God. That everything in us resists that wilderness of intimacy with God. That there's something in us that finds it too hard or too empty or too silent. The desert is one of the most common symbols for the season of Lent because in this season, we follow Christ into the wilderness. You see, the disciplines of Lent are different than the other disciplines we use in the year. It's not about Sabbath or rest or self-care. It is more the opposite, that the season of Lent is a spiritual exercise. We intentionally place ourselves in those places of challenge to wake up from our spiritual apathy and that slump that you've been in. You see, when we have unhealthy physical habits, like unhealthy eating or spending too much time in front of a screen or stressing too much, all of those physical things, they affect our spiritual life as well. That unhealthy physical habits lead to physically being lethargic, but also spiritually lethargic. And so we use physical practices like fasting to create change, to make a way, to bring a shift into the way that we approach life. So this time of fasting, this time of Lent, is to place ourselves in the desert. It is facing our old self and finding a new self. It is a time of spiritual warfare and discernment and change. Some of you may be fasting, but you're not actually using that space to be with God. Some of you are fasting, but it's not actually bringing any change in you. And so Lent invites us in. The prophets used the desert as a metaphor because everyone in that time thought that life was fine. And the prophets were warning them that you are barren and dry on the inside and you don't even know it. We have this season for fasting, not because eating is bad, but because we are hungry and longing for God. And I know that these days are not any different than other days of the year. It's not more holy, but it is an invitation, an opportunity to use this time. Because if you're like me, all the things of life, they build up. And over time, I just get built up gunk in my soul. My mind gets cluttered. I get spiritually lazy. And so the season of Lent is an invitation to clear out the gunk, to clear out the cobwebs in our body and in our hearts, and to make space for God to be creative and active in our lives again. 5th century desert father John Cassian, he wrote that you can think of Lent as a tithe of our time. Just like we tithe our resources, the days of Lent make up roughly 1/10 or 10% of all the days in the year. And so we tithe our time and we give God extended and devoted time. We are extravagant in giving our time to God. The word Lent means spring. It is like a spring cleaning of our lives. And so if you receive this invitation to clear out the junk in your life, then let me be your guide. Let's spend the next 20 minutes going through some Old Testament passages to find what they teach us about the desert. What are the disciplines that we need to learn from the desert? And what do we need to be doing in this season? So let's start with Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. What happens when we enter into the wilderness? The scriptures tell us that it is the place where Moses met God in the burning bush. It is the place where Elijah met God in the whispers. It is the place where God calls out to us and the place where God meets us. You see, we usually wait until stuff happens and we have no choice but to go to God and God alone. But we don't need to wait for those things to happen. We can make a choice. We can choose to seek radical encounters with God because the Bible tells us we can have that. Brother Lawrence wrote that because the world tends to clutter our lives, we get too easily satisfied with passing moments of God. And we need to want more. The life of Moses taught us that his encounter in the burning bush, that was just the first time. That Moses built a habit of regularly going to God in the wilderness, that he would leave his people for very long periods of time. In Exodus 34, it says that Moses spent 40 days fasting in the presence of God, receiving the Ten Commandments. And at the end of 40 days, it says, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. What happens when we are with God in the wilderness? When you've been with God, it shows. It is evident to the people around you that you are someone who spends extended time with the Lord. Moses had an important job. Moses had a lot of heavy responsibility, but what he taught us was it was never a waste to sit and be with God. It was never a waste to spend extravagant time with God. One of the first traditions that began after the early church was the movement of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. These were people from the 4th through 6th centuries who moved into the deserts of Egypt and Syria and made a life there. These were normal people. They weren't religious leaders. They weren't more educated. They weren't wealthier. These were normal people who wanted a deeper experience of God. Because they felt that in their time and in their culture, the Christian faith had become too comfortable and too privileged. And so, inspired by the stories of Moses and Elijah, they went into the desert to experience God there. They weren't trying to run away from the things of the world, but they were running towards something. They wanted to challenge themselves, and they wanted to face directly all that the enemy has put in them and get those out. Henry Nouwen wrote that the Desert Fathers did not think of solitude as being alone, but solitude is being with God. They did not think of silence as not talking, but silence is listening to God. And so we need to use these tools to be with God, these tools of silence and solitude. But the practices are not the goal. If you think silence and solitude is the goal, if you're trying really hard to be silent for a long time and be alone for a long time, if you think that's the goal, then you will have a very hard time. But we need to want God desperately enough that if silence is the way to learn how to listen to God, if solitude is the way to have a new experience of God, then that's what we'll do. When Moses went into the desert, when the Israelites were led into the desert, when Elijah and John the Baptist and Jesus went into the desert, something had to happen there. It was a training ground so that they would learn how to live out radical and effective lives. What the desert teaches us, and why the Desert Fathers and Mothers went into the desert, is because they teach us two disciplines. And you won't like these, but we need to learn them. They are detachment and discernment. These are not common words in our Christian vocabulary because they've gotten lost in our culture. We need to detach ourselves from the way that the world has a hold on us, and we need to detach ourselves from the way that the world has a hold on us. We need to discern when God is moving and when God is speaking and when God is doing something. When we enter into the desert, it always begins with a process of stripping away. That is detachment. And usually we learn that the hard and painful way. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. If you were here last week when Pastor Kevin taught on the first temptation, this was the passage that Jesus quoted, that we do not live on bread alone, but on the very words of God. Because what this passage tells us is that what detachment does is that it reveals what's really in your heart. That when we clear out all those things that are unimportant, we will see what's really there. This is why silence is so powerful. Because usually when we get time to ourselves, we fill it. We fill it with music or TV or podcasts or just any sounds. Even when we have quiet time, right, we fill it with reading and learning. Silence faces us to forces us to face ourselves, to listen to what's really there. And we may not like what we find. But this is a necessary part of detachment. Because in those seasons where you feel like you have nothing left, that's when you begin to see all the things that were not important, but for some reason you spent a lot of energy and a lot of attention on those things. Detachment is not passive. It is not doing nothing. Because to survive, to be in the desert, you need to survive. And so you learn how to pray desperately. You learn how to let go of control. That's very hard. You learn to let go of your pride and ask for help. And in that process, you will lose parts of yourself, but you will also gain something new. Detachment creates space in us so that God can do his holy work. And as we enter into detachment and we're able to step back from those things that are not important, we can begin the process of discernment. The word discernment is more common. We use that more, but we don't use it in the right way. Usually when we have to make decisions, we start first with reason, or we wait until those moments of crisis, and then we go to God and ask for direction, and we call that discernment. But discernment is not just for those major choices that you have to make in life. Discernment is a practice that we do in our everyday life. Discernment means to sort out, to distinguish, to separate. If detachment helps us to understand what's not important, then discernment helps us to understand what's most important. And in discernment, we learn to recognize the movements of God. We learn to recognize the voice of God. It says in Deuteronomy that the Israelites received manna, the food from heaven, that their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. And I wonder, did they even notice? Because when we focus on the things that we don't have, we can easily miss the miracles around us. Deuteronomy 2:7 says that these 40 years God has been with you and you have not lacked anything. But that's not how the Israelites experienced it. They focused on all the things that they didn't have. Walter Brueggemann wrote that the desert is the place of all lacks. It looks like there's nothing there, but because God is there, nothing is lacking. And it makes me wonder, do we easily miss the miracles around us because we're not even looking. Each week we get caught up in all the things of life, all the things we need to do to get ahead in life, to progress our lives. But sometimes I need to take a step back and remind myself that's not actually the life that I want. I don't want the kind of life that I can build on my own or create for myself. I want the kind of life that only God can give. The kind of life that's full of the Holy Spirit, and I clearly know that it comes from God. I want to see miracles regularly. I want to be in that place where God is constantly moving. And so I need discernment. Discernment is constantly asking, what are you doing in this circumstance, God? What is your heart, God? What do you want, God? And we wait for the answer before we act. The desert fathers and mothers, they called this a practice called agrypnia. It means wakefulness. It is the practice of paying attention and being attentive and sensitive to what God is doing and how God is speaking. And it is for this reason that at the very beginning of the New Testament, John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness with his camel hair shirt and locusts for breakfast. That doesn't sound strange to us now because we're surrounded by hipsters. But it was strange for the people at that time. This shows us that John the Baptist spent his life in the wilderness. That he was not attached to the things of the world. That he was not afraid of the things of the world. But he was looking for God. And in that instant, when Jesus comes, he was able to recognize the Son of God. It's significant then that Jesus enters into the desert, that he spends 40 days there holding his beloved identity, 40 days preparing for ministry, 40 days in temptations and discernment so that he could learn how to listen to the Father, so that he would always choose God and not wealth or power or pride. In all of these desert stories, the desert is not the end. It is never the end. The desert is just an in-between place. For the Israelites, the desert was that in-between place from slavery into freedom, so that God could teach them that as they come out of slavery, they did not need to be another Egypt. So that God could teach them to not get attached to the desires of the world, but to learn to listen and walk in the ways of God. The desert, it was that in-between place for Jesus between baptism and ministry. He needed to give that long time to the wilderness in order to listen and to prepare, and we need to do the same. We need to build in these in-between times and spaces into our lives so that we can get away and we can discern and we can detach from the world and we can discern the voice of God so that we can live into the life that God calls us. So what are some things that you can do in this season of Lent? I have a few suggestions. Number one, immerse yourself in gospel stories. That's what this season is for. Read the gospels, reread the gospels, meditate on all the gospel stories. Because we are journeying with Christ to the cross so that on Easter Sunday we can truly celebrate. Number two, ask yourself, what cravings have a hold on me right now? What have I become too dependent on? And how can I fast from those things for certain periods of time in order to practice detachment? And number three, create open space so that you can discern what God is doing in your life, so that you can train yourself to recognize his voice. Because God is not afraid of the desert. We are afraid. We avoid it. But God is not afraid. This is what it says in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 35. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. God is not afraid of the desert because he can create pools of water out of the desert, because he can create cities there and feed people there. God is not afraid of the desert because he knows how to lead us through the desert. We look at the desert and we see nothing, but God looks at the desert and he sees a place of miracles, a place where he has the opportunity to create new things. So let's get to know this God during this season. I'd like to spend some time in prayer. So please pray with me. I'd like you to think about, what is the wilderness season for you in this time? Bring to mind, what is it that you think God can't change? What feels hopeless to you? What have you been waiting and praying for a long time? Whatever that desert is for you, hold that in your mind for a moment. Let me pray for you. God, I ask that you would be in all of these circumstances that we hold before you right now. Lord, that you would teach us how to carry hope in that situation. Lord, for those that have been waiting for healing, I pray for healing. Lord, I pray for change for those that have been feeling stuck or they're in situations that they can't get out of. Lord, for those that have been carrying deep pain in this time, I pray for new hope and new vision. Father, for those that need resources right now, that they are in a time of need, I pray that you would provide in the way that only you can. That they can confidently say that because of God, I lack nothing. Father, turn our deserts into pools of water so that we can know and testify that you are God. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.